This is how we start the podcast. I've been on this podcast once.
Yeah, eventually Salsa will say something like, welcome Apropossi and buckle up for sex. It's the AON podcast with your hosts. But he's not doing that yet, so...
So I suppose we can vamp
No, you already did, though.
Oh. All right. I would have been more exciting. Did you say something? I didn't hear you.
It is done. There's nothing that can be done about it. We cannot undo it.
So much lag.
It's canon now.
I loved listening to your voice and not seeing your mouth move. It was great. With your hosts!
Also.
And Jenna, and very special guest,
Tom St.
Yay!
Hey! Oh, God.
Yeah,
I almost spilled beer on my keyboard.
Cheers.
Skull.
Skull.
Kanpai!
There we go. Got it. No, finally at the same time.
That lag is a bitch, though.
A little bit. So, listeners, we are recording online and without a James. So there's going to be just as much awkward pauses and weird segues as if there was a James, but with more
fewer puns.
We just can't blame James on it.
Yeah,
we can't blame James. But like, I suppose that's a solution. Yes.
Yeah.
As often as possible, I'm going to.
As my old chemistry teacher used to say, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the precipitate.
Nice.
Exactly.
Way to James that one. Mm-hmm. Tom. Appreciate that.
I'm your substitute James.
Oh, we don't need to go that far.
Or do we? No, I'm
Look,
kidding.
You don't need to put yourself down quite that bad.
Whoa, rude. Rude. Rude.
We should play a drinking game of number of times Tom almost does a spit take all over their computer.
Hey, Tom, what are you drinking?
I have a Liftbridge Brewing Company pumpkin pie ale that I got at the Cub Foods on Thursday.
Ooh. Does it taste like pumpkin pie and or ale?
It tastes like ale. It kind of tastes like burnt pumpkin pie, if I'm being completely honest.
It's toast.
It's like a toasty, like roasty flavor.
Okay,
which is not necessarily maybe what you want in a pumpkin pie, but it certainly works in a beer.
Some people might like it in a pie. I don't know.
I do want to point out the glass that I'm drinking out of. Let me see if I can get the camera to focus on it.
Maybe not.
It's okay. The listeners can't see the camera.
It's an audio medium. For those of us listening, I suppose there are already video podcasts. But anyway, for those of you who are listening to this lovely podcast, what I have is a glass from
podcast. I was going to let it slide.
It's a podcast. Hey,
pasta. Okay. There's pasta. Is it gluten free?
No, but now I thought of Italian Elon Musk, and he's like, I send the rockets into space. I don't pay the taxes. Which are not allowed anymore, because we can't make fun of Elon Musk. Anyway, the glass.
The glass is from
my college's rugby team, and what's funny about it is it's the Quaker Oats guy with an eye patch. And he's got like two crossed muskets, and it says moment of violence. And the reason that's funny is because Quakers are pacifists, and
right.
So a Quaker being violent is funny.
I love it.
I went to a Quaker college. That's literally it.
Where
you learned how to
make Quakers.
Make oatmeal.
Fun fact about the Quaker Oats guy, he's actually an example of a brand mascot where like the qualities of Quakers were meant to communicate wholesomeness. So it's not that Quaker Oats is a Quaker-owned brand. I think Cadbury chocolate was Quaker-owned at one point. Okay. But in this case, the inclusion
Quaker
of
chocolate.
Yes, at one point, I do believe before Hershey bought it out, I do believe the Cadbury company was Quaker-owned. There was actually a series of like Quaker memes where it was like somebody going like this, like very frustrated. And one of the memes was, no, not like the oatmeal. And then another meme later in that similar vein was, not like the, okay, fine, yes, like the fucking oatmeal. Because you get tired of, it was called Quaker problems, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Like not having enough brown sugar.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that could be a Quaker problem in some context.
Could be a Quaker oats problem for sure.
Here, here.
Brown sugar is important. Unless you have pure maple syrup. Like, it's got to be actual pure maple syrup, not the bullshit. Not
the fake stuff. The bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Caro
syrup, so anyway, like I grew up on.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
I grew up poor on a farm, man.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. You do what you got to do.
Yeah. It wasn't good, but mm-hmm. that's okay. Exactly.
All right, look, so I'm drinking
government cheese. I'm not going to apologize for it.
Oh, nor should you.
No.
I'm just going to be very sad about the whole thing.
Jenna, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, I believe we called this a granny jump up, which is
okay,
it's a Johnny jump up made with green apple cider, thus the granny, right?
Yeah.
And I have used two gingers because mm-hmm. ginger and apple is amazing. I believe it's a granny jump up. It was either that or it may have been Fireball. Actually, was the granny jump up proper, but whatever. It's a Johnny jump up, but with those elements, and it's delicious. The end. Salsa, what are you drinking?
I have moonshine. Berries in Dr. Pepper.
Ooh.
Oh my. So it's a cherry Dr. Pepper moonshine edition.
Yeah, sure.
It's a
something like that.
It's a midnight cherry doctor.
I was gonna go cherry Dr. Pepper by night, but sure.
Oh.
That makes sense.
No, that's fair. I mean, either one is good.
That just reminded me.
After hours.
After dark.
After dark.
After dark.
After dark.
Yeah.
If you add
Cherry Dr. Pepper after dark.
Yeah, add after dark to anything and it makes it sound cool and mysterious and like
mysterious.
Slightly forbidden. Slightly.
Possibly a little adult.
Just a wee
bit. To be fair, drinking should be an adult activity overall.
I would hope.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're like, I don't know, religious times or whatever. Or I don't know how young you were when you snuck your first drink, but I was definitely not an adult.
I mean, that is also a fairly American viewpoint. In Europe, you know, drink mm-hmm. starts at a lot earlier than adulthood.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, that's fair.
Heck, even in Canada, some people think it's weird that, like, Americans are weirdly puritanic about teen drinking.
Well, I mean, it all goes back to the Quakers.
Fair. Okay, no. The Puritans are like, most... Like, I understand that Quakers were part of the temperance movement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's... I would say the Puritans more than the Quakers.
Look, this was
all
just a conspiracy.
I didn't have a Puritan callback.
It was... It's all a curiosity to get people to eat more oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes, absolutely. Can I put alcohol in my oatmeal?
And they want oatmeal. Science has concluded.
Can I put alcohol in? Do you still have the maple syrup booze? From or whatever?
Yes, I think I do.
All right, I have a science experiment. I'll bring over some instant oatmeal.
Cool. Regular flavor or like flavored flavor?
Well, you got to start with the regular. You got to have like a baseline, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I'm plotting. So anyway, Salsa, what have you been up to?
I got my flu shot finally today.
Yay!
Yeah. It figured I had more time and. And then both kids came home with the flu. So it was like, oh, I should probably get that done. You know, it apparently flu hit really early this year. So, but yeah, no, I voted. I did that thing.
Yay, voting! Hey. I did that thing.
I also did that thing. I did it early by mail.
I did it day of. So. Like, here's the thing. I love having the option to go early, but like, for most of my adulthood, I've been going to the polls, and I used to, and I kind of miss this aspect. I would always bring Jessa with me.
Aww.
I know, so cute.
Adorable.
But we would, and so I, as we were going there, I'd talk about my process for figuring out who I was going to vote for, how I look at the issues, figuring out which things are more important. And then like when we got to the little sign-in thing where you have to sign the thing that says, yes, I can vote. Like we would talk about what are the things that, you know, what are the reasons somebody wouldn't be able to vote here? And just having those conversations, like it was basically like a civics lesson for my daughter every time I went to vote. And I did primaries too, bitches. So she got a lot of that growing up.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, then when she could first legally vote, we got to go together. And it was just such a cute thing. And we got to go vote a couple of times. And then when the pandemic hit, we did our mail-ins together so that we could have our voting picture together. We're like, yeah, we're doing the thing.
Aww.
And then she moved out.
Oh.
And I haven't been able to vote with my daughter since.
How selfish.
But I still love going to the polls. And my polling place is like literally a block away. So there are zero excuses for me.
Oh,
it is
there you go.
Actively easier for me to just go during my lunch, which I did, to go vote. It took me all of 15 minutes. I remember telling Jessa, I'm like, voting is the one thing you can actually just like, it's open book. You can bring your notes. You can Google on your phone while you are there with the ballot. Take your time. Get it the fuck right. This is important.
I think both of you are familiar with Naomi Kritzer's election election guide, which is wonderful. Anybody in Minnesota who... So I was looking it up to give it to a friend who was like, help, I need resources day of. And I read her like roundup post, and she her first sentence was, hello to everybody looking this up from a voting booth. I'm like, ah, that's been me.
Nice.
Yes.
My one kind of frustration after having moved to Bloomington was I no longer get like my local breakdown from her.
Which
means I actually had to look things up on my own.
You poor thing.
Like a caveman.
I had to do that with the city council. Unfortunately, the mayor was running unopposed in my city. I think I'm one city north of you, basically, Salsa.
Yeah. All
right. Without revealing my exact location.
Well, I mean...
I mean, it's not cake eating Edina. I'll say that.
I think lot of people know that Salsa is in Bloomington.
Okay.
Well, so they might be able to zero in.
They probably
will. If somebody actually does the work, that's when you need to be creeped out, Tom.
Yeah. Guys, please.
But I mean, even if they do, they're at a city. So I mean.
Yeah. But I've narrowed it down by one by saying it's not cake eating Edina.
Or.
That's fair.
Any Edina for that matter.
And honestly,
is there any other Edina?
Bloomington is long and scrawly, so quite a few places that fit. Yeah, okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah, so did that. I'm with you, Jenna. I honestly prefer going to the polling place. I don't have any problems with mail-in ballots. I trust mail-in ballots, but there's
absolutely.
For me there's something about physically going there that makes me feel like doing my civic duty. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like I feel like actively participating in the process, even though I'm doing the exact same thing I would do with a mail-in ballot. I have the ability to go in and do it. And I like to physically be there and kind of soak that in. And
that makes sense.
And like I said, it was a block away. It was easier for me to go in.
And I had plenty of time to do it this year, not having a job anymore.
That's why I thought we'd start with you, Salsa. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, no, that happened.
You want to talk about how all of that went down?
Honestly, it went pretty smoothly. And I just, I want to get this out right at the very beginning. Everything's good. I'm good. Yes, I don't have a job, but this honestly is the best way I have ever lost a job. Ever. Okay. So I was downsized. It happens. Company reorganization. Sure. My whole team was wiped out. A bunch of people in my department, actually. But the thing that they did is instead of saying, you no longer have a job, here's your severance, goodbye. They were like, as of today, your access is shut down, everything's shut off, but you are still an employee. You are on administrative leave until the end of the year.
Nice.
And on January 1st, is your actual termination date.
Wow. Okay.
So I have a month and a half.
Damn.
Where I'm still getting paid and still have my insurance and stuff to look for a job without freaking out about where my mortgage payment's coming.
Oh, right. Oh, that's so good.
I know, right? Not only that, they have their HR has something called transition services. My HR is literally giving me the opportunity to help me find a new job.
Yay. That's good.
So, like resume review and
Exactly.
Like that?
Okay. Exactly. Like, let's build up your resume. Let's find some jobs in the industry. We know some people in the industry. Who's hiring? Who can we talk to? You know, this sort of thing. So the fact that, yes, I have to hand in my computer and I can't do anything is pretty standard. But the fact that I'm on administrative leave for a month and a half and have time to find a new job, and they're going to help me find a new job, and I don't need to worry about it. Oh, and also, all of the PTO that I had, like, that I was going to be taking, I'm going to be leaving for a week to go to Seattle in a couple weeks.
Right.
All of that has retroactively declined so that I'm not using that PTO up so that when they hand me my PTO, when they hand my overuse of PTO check at the end of my employment, it's at the most it can be.
That's so good.
That's really good. You know, and I get a severance and, you know, all of this other stuff like that. So it's just like, they're really doing everything they can to make this not suck. And it's not we don't like you anymore, or go away and best of fucking luck. It's like, we unfortunately do not have a spot for you, but we still value you as a person.
No, that's fantastic. The joke is, this place sounds great. Are they hiring?
Oof and yikes.
That's
all the
funny.
Mics.
That's fucking funny.
If this had happened to you, Tom, I would not have made that joke as quickly as I did, at the very least. For Salsa, that was my present.
No, that's
him.
Funny as hell. No, that's where I'm at right now, and I have been looking, and I have reached out to a bunch of people that I know in the industry for, you know, some of those connections, find out who's hiring. Right. I have a couple solid leads that I am following up on. A couple jobs are out there that kind of crossing my fingers on a little bit, because there's a couple good ones out there. But I mean, we'll see. And I've got a little bit of time. So.
Yeah.
No, that's the best possible fucking outcome for the situation. And congratulances, I guess.
Yeah. I was just like, every other company that I have ever been downsized from has really not done well at making feel like shit. This place, it was very clear that this isn't because we're just money grubbing bastards who don't care about people. This is legitimately a business decision that sucks for you, and we are going to make it suck for you as little as humanly possible. So
yeah. That's fantastic.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to is sitting at home with our new kitties.
You've been sitting at home snuggling at kitties, if your Facebook is to be believed.
Yeah, I've been sitting at home snuggling with kitties and drinking, and I'm getting paid right now for it.
I was about to say, that first week, fucking have at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do it up, man.
I did. I basically was like, this is my time to kind of go, well, this really sucks, and to just kind of shake that off. And then morning, on Monday morning, I kids went off to school, and I went to my computer and started looking for a job. Mm-hmm. So.
And also, you got snow.
Yay.
Yeah.
Just, oh, that's right. Salsa and I are quite happy about the snow, and Jenna is just, no, not.
I'm very happy for you both.
It's so pretty. It really is.
It is very pretty. It is some of that pretty, like, crystalline, like, almost Hollywood-esque snow.
Yeah.
Like, it is
a real thing.
Very, very pretty. And I will say,
just a dusting of asbestos.
One of the things, because I was a little bummed out about not owning a house. Like, I moved into this place and I'm just going to be here for a while. I'm not going to be able to own a house anytime soon. And I was bummed out about that. Until my landlord started shoveling my sidewalk.
Yeah.
At which point, and my fucking stairs. And I'm just like, excellent. All right.
If you owned a house, you'd have to do that yourself. Or pay somebody to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't shovel anything.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
You don't have a sidewalk. You don't have a sidewalk, though, do you?
No, like, I don't have a sidewalk. But even my drive, it's gonna go away.
Yeah. See, you don't have to worry about like city legalities of getting your sidewalk shoveled.
At my last house, I didn't bother with it because my driveway is already half melted. It's
all right.
Mid November. Once we get into December and we have snows that are actually going to stick around, then I'll worry about shoveling it.
Okay, all
right. Now it's this snow is not going to stay.
Yeah.
No. But in the morning when it's like that blanket all over everything.
Oh.
And you don't have to go out in it. That was that was the thing that made me crabby this morning. Is I was like, oh fuck, I have to go to work. Okay. So here's my thing: is like I have to get up and drive to either the bus stop or to the office. And I got up, grumbling the whole while. Got ready. Got in my car. The parking lot is fine. Trying to turn on to 76th from Lyndale to get to my bus stop.
Sure.
I slid almost into the pickup truck that was parked there. I'm like,
No.
I turned right around and I drove back home and I texted my boss in Iowa and I was like, hey, I don't know what the weather's doing down there, but here the roads are dangerous. I'm working from home. And she's like, that is fine.
Yeah, I didn't even talk to my boss about it. I was just like yesterday I was like, okay. This is it, Jenna. You've done all of the things. You've had a week from jury duty. You're rested. You're ready to go. You're going to go back into the office. And then I woke up this morning and I went, nope.
Nope.
I'm going back to bed for an hour. Because I try to get to the office at or before 7.
Oh, right.
Well, I try to start work at or before 7. Mm-hmm. Because I have a lot of offshore people. Some of them mm-hmm. are from India. Some are Ireland. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I could listen to my Irish people talk all day long. Fuck. Oh, there's one of them that just has the nice deep and the... Anyway. But yeah, so they're all on an earlier schedule than me. So like the earlier I can get in, the more work we can get done, right? Also, the earlier I get to leave and I get to have my old lady nap in the afternoon.
Nice.
So yeah, I woke up at like 5:30 and I looked out the window and I went, nope. Like, I am not going to shower and get ready for work. I am going back to bed for another hour and then I will get up.
I guess I'm never sure. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope. Forgot. Whatever.
Go I'm ahead, sorry. Tom. I was just going to say, like, I'm never sure, like, because ostensibly our bosses, even though they're not here, they're supposed to care about whether we're in the office when we're supposed to be. So I feel obligated to tell them.
Right.
I'm just like, I just don't want trouble.
Well, the thing is that my boss is either in Boston or India.
Mm.
Like, I can't see him. There are plenty of peers and other people I work with, kind of like clients, actually, that are in the office, like internal clients, I guess. Sure.
Okay.
That I could be connecting with and having conversations with. Mm-hmm. But, like, I took all of since Con. I have not been in the office because there was Convergence. Then there was all of Fest. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go work a 30,000 a day festival, which is obviously a high risk situation. Like, I've increased my likelihoods of getting COVID by like 1,000. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then come into the office on work on Monday. What kind of asshole do you think I am? No. So I just didn't go into the office during Fest. And then I had a week off from my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, I think, where I could have gone in, but like just didn't. And then I had jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, so yeah, like last week was my first week. And I was like, I don't want to go in the, I'll go next week. And the answer is no, I'm not going in. Probably most of this week, because it's supposed to be snowing for much of this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that temperature that it's like, it's like there's going to be a little bit of melt and a little bit of freeze, and it's just not going to be safe.
Yep.
So.
Well, Jenna, speaking of Irish accents, I am tomorrow going to go see Foil Arms and Hog.
Yes! Oh my god, I'm so excited for you. Tom, do you know about Foil Arms and Hog?
I do not, but please enlighten me because you sound so excited about it.
Oh my god.
Foil Arms and Hog is a trio of sketch comedians from Ireland. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of YouTube videos out there that are just hilarious. But the YouTube videos are really to get people to come to their live shows, which are stellar. And it's the three of them doing just the most amazing sketch comedy. And I have been looking forward to this show for 6 months.
A few months now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm so goddamn pumped to see this show. Yeah, go ahead and Google or go to YouTube and look for Foil Arms and Hog. And prepare to laugh.
To give you a taste, my favorite one is the vegetable party.
Okay.
Or the fruit party. Sorry,
fruit party.
Wait, was it fruit or vegetable? I don't remember. I think it was vegetable.
Tomato? Tomatoes being a let in?
Is it fruit throw a party?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, all right. I will save
probably
that
later. One.
Yeah, and then fall down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
it's those people for sure. Just watch several of them. It's so good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're so they're good. Stellar. Yeah, no, and I get to see you live tomorrow.
So excited.
There's something to be said about like live performance and live music. For sure.
Oh, speaking of live, guess who I got to see live yesterday?
David Bowie? No, he's dead.
No. Oh,
that you said yes.
No, that was a guess.
It was a guess. It's not a good one.
Was it the guess who?
No. He also looks mildly disappointed.
I got no other guesses.
If it was the guess who, that would have been a stellar joke on your part.
That would have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. No, so, well, now I feel like the lead up is not going to be as... Whatever, I'm going to tell my story.
Hey, my work here's
Yesterday, I went grocery shopping with my family, as I do every other Sunday.
This is not how I thought the story was going to start.
No. and when we were grocery shopping, I turned a corner with my family, and there was a face that I recognized.
It's like attached to a body, right?
What was it?
It was just floating there.
Box of Quaker Oats?
No. That was the other aisle. I turn the corner and I look at the eyes and the eyes look at me and I'm wearing a mask because that's how I grocery shop. And the other person was not. So I had the advantage of recognizing the other person and they're just looking at me like, is it? Like that kind of a thing that we've all done with people wearing masks. And so like, I did the show the face thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey buddy, how's it going? So many of us here are familiar with Gray, frenemy of the podcast. Gray has a sibling with long, gorgeous curly hairs. A vilifier, ex-vilifier? I don't know. I haven't been keeping up on the vil game. Who also has delightfully curly hair. And those are the people that I ran into.
I'm just trying to think of which vilifier it is.
Anna Levine.
Oh, okay.
And Drew.
Zastara.
Zastara. Zastara. Zastara. I was actually trying to avoid using the name Zastara because I feel like it's almost a little overplayed. I don't know. Anyway. So ran into them at the grocery store and it was great. But the problem is, and I felt so bad because I was in a rush. Because we got a little bit of a late start due to factors. It happens. And I had a place that I needed to be at 5. And we ran into them at 4. And we were only halfway through our grocery shopping. And we still needed to check out. Get some BK because tradition is important. Get my brother back to his place. My daughter back to her place. And get me over to Brooklyn Center by 5.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
I was 7 minutes late. You don't want to know how I drive on a freeway, but I was only 7 minutes late to Brooklyn Center. So,
not gonna ask questions.
Don't ask questions. No. I don't want to get in legal.
I don't need to know. Fine. Yeah,
you don't want to know.
No, nobody needs to know.
Amazing.
What are we even talking about?
It's amazing how well Honda Pilot travels.
I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm going to drop little tidbits about it.
What? I love my Honda Pilot. It's a great fucking vehicle.
That's true.
So I got to run into them and I felt bad because I couldn't chat with them. Mm-hmm. But like also, like, I don't know, you want to hang out in a grocery store and have a chit chat? Like, if I'd had nothing else to do afterwards, I'd have been like, let's all go out to dinner together. It'll be great. But no, I had things to do. The thing that I was doing was I got a card table off of Facebook Marketplace for dirt cheap. So it was the card table and 4 chairs. Ooh. But they're teal.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yes. Okay. I'm very excited for the tealness.
Oh, yes, it is a good thing. Not yet.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
It is a good thing. That's what, see, okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one whose brain went there. We're on the same wavelength here.
No, it is, yes, I no, love no,
I'm,
that
I'm
everything
picking up what you're laying down.
Teal. And the seats on the foldy chairs are actually the cushiony kind that are inset. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of like a gray cushion on a teal. And this is going to be going in the Eric Knight Memorial Sewing Room. In joke, not dead. And which I have to say now for Facebook reasons. Tom may have been involved.
My lawyer has informed me that I need to
did I comment
say
on
the whole thing.
yeah. So, but this, so this table, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get heat treated vinyl, and replace the top of the cardboard, because one of the reasons why I got it so cheap is the top was a little notched.
Mm-hmm. Wonky.
You know how like on the kind of thin vinyl tables, like you catch something and it just kind of,
it just like leaves marks or scratches.
Yeah. It kind of pulls on it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to replace it with some slightly thicker heat-treated vinyl that I can then turn the entire card table into a large ironing board.
Ooh.
Right? Have you ever been ironing like a large swath of fabric and been like, oh, god damn it, if only there was more space. I'm going to have it. So this is the plan.
That would be amazing for ironing.
Ooh, those are big pieces of fabric too.
But a lot of the stuff that I
iron all pleats in there and get the pleats all ironed in nice and neat without having the whole thing pulling on one side and the other.
Hmm. Okay, now that makes sense.
So I grew up doing the clan tartan, Scottish clan tartan, which is a historical reenactment group. Portraying a Scottish clan from the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the Black Watch era, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of pleating your kilt automatically like does a ka-chunk in my brain, because I know what kilts are now. But like back then, you just had a swath of fabric and you would have to fold over the fabric.
Yeah.
Over a belt. So you lie down your belt, you lie down your 9 yards, all 9 yards, and you do the pleats going along specific lines in the tartan to get the nice pleat. And then you lie down and you buckle your belt. And then you've got all of this fabric that you have to swoop over. Or butt over or butt under, I guess, depending on what you're feeling that day, I guess. And yeah, like every time somebody talks about pleating a kilt with an iron, I just kind of like,
I've got a utility kilt.
Yeah, see, and I know that that's a thing now, that like modern society kilt definition is different, but it still just breaks my brain a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to derail, you were saying.
But yeah, I do a lot of work with like skirts. Skirts are kind of what I'm really good at. I can do circle skirts. I can do very, very specific ruffle styles. Skirts are kind of my bread and butter of my sewing capabilities. But trying to iron out enough fabric for a circle skirt on a goddamn ironing board is just tedious as fuck.
Mm-hmm. It's no fun.
So yeah, having a card table, a 30 by 30 surface, as opposed to like a 28 by like 9, maybe 12. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good, guys. So yeah, that's what I'm doing with that. And then card tables, like it's really easy to recover a card table, like recover, not recover, but
okay.
To put a cover on it, a new cover, like. It's like bolstering, but like way easier.
Yeah, no, you just unscrew just like 8 screws. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's basically it. And then you just kind of tack or staple down the new cover.
Mm-hmm.
I do need to get a little bit of batting, heat treated batting, just to have underneath that for the smoosh factor. But yeah, otherwise, I think it's going to be really easy. And I can get it in a fabric. Like a pattern style and color that I want. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be super fun. But that's
also
what I was doing. Yeah.
Also, from now on, you can play poker on your ironing board.
That's true. It'll be lovely. Also, I don't currently have an ironing board. I don't know where my old one is.
Exactly. No, I mean, this will be your ironing board. This.
How does one lose an ironing board?
You'd be surprised, man. okay, so I haven't had an ironing board proper at the apartment, but I don't know what the fuck I'd do with one anyway.
Yeah.
In that tiny ass apartment. Before that, I lived with Jax, and they had like a nice little tiny, like the 9-inch by like 18-inch, like you just
like
set
a
it on a
tabletop iron board.
Yeah, tabletop iron board.
Yeah.
Before that, I swear to God, I had an ironing board.
Hmm.
No idea where it went. Maybe it's still on the truck and traveling to this day. I have no idea.
wandering the woods, the lonely moors.
But like, so every time I've gone to do ironing,
you can see the ironing.
You can still hear the screams.
the steam whistle.
Yeah, there you go. That's also terrifying.
Of metal, the screech of that metal when you open them up.
That just made my brain hurt.
It's the when you push the button and you get the steam.
Yeah, but that's not the ironing board itself. The board itself had that screech of metal when you opened and closed it.
Yeah,
so,
I just don't want to think about it. So I went to a more pleasant.
It would be more creepy on the moors.
You don't want a pleasant sound out on the moors. That's bullshit.
Yeah. No context
theater. You don't want a pleasant sound out on the moors.
I'm gonna tweet that.
Do it.
Do it. It's being tweeted.
It's
Elon Musk is tweeting it, you mean?
I don't care.
One of my favorite things, somebody was like, so if I just tweeted, does that mean I twat? And I was like, oh God. Oh,
you twat. What do you twat?
Twat? Twatted?
You twat, you twat. What do you twat?
You twat.
You twat, you twat.
You twat, you twat. Oh, dear.
Now I have concerns about my childhood. Okay, so anyway. I voted. What else did I do? Shit, I don't even remember.
And then the thing about Elon Musk, because I saw something funny about him today.
Fuck, I just don't remember what else I did. I know I did more things. I hung out with Joe a lot.
Yeah.
This is the first weekend. So Joe rearranged his schedule a little bit. So now he will always have Saturdays off.
Yay!
Or almost always have Saturdays off. He should have Saturdays off unless a catastrophe hits the B-Dubs Express in Uptown. Could happen.
I mean, I suppose...
If everybody there gets COVID except for him, I don't know. I don't know what, but yeah, the plan is for him to have Saturdays off, which means I get to have weekends.
Yay!
With my boyfriend. Yes, Salsa, you have your hand up.
I know what you did.
Hmm.
Same thing I did on last week.
Trying to take James. Over the world? Oh, that's...
Oh, shit! That was the thing that we did.
Yeah.
We Oh, my God. I knew there was something. God, I feel bad now.
So...
I'm like, I know it's right there. It's right fucking there.
Yeah.
Yes. So, how do we want to do this? Thursday. Yeah.
It was super fun.
It was super fun, actually. So Jax works for Hidden MN or MN Hidden?
Hidden MN, I think.
Hidden MN?
I know the friend who owns the puzzle room.
Okay. Mm. So yeah, Jax works there. And Jax was training to be able to do this particular puzzle room. Hadn't been through it yet, and you can't host it, I guess. It's the best answer I've got. host it until you until you've experienced it and have an idea of what's going on, right? So we got to do this with Jax and James invited a bunch of people. Neither Salsa or I knew that James was doing this for his birthday. We just knew he invited us to come do this puzzle room
thing. We were both like, oh, Jax needs to experience this one so she can host it later. So they can host it later. And now we need to do this. And because we're helping out, we're going to get a discount. And it's like, oh, cool. That sounds like a good time. And then we get there and it's like, happy birthday. It was like, what? What just happened? What?
Oh, God. Oh, no. So, yeah, so James had invited a bunch of people he wanted there for his birthday. A very limited amount. So if you weren't invited, please don't be offended. Like, it was a very small group of people.
Get out of my brain, Jeff.
Yeah, eight people are allowed. They allow eight people in the room at once. So, maximum group of eight.
I assume that's a COVID safety measure.
Also, the rooms are only so big.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you have two big of a group, then you're
like,
you're,
even just the eight of us, like when we went into that room, there was still chaos. Like different people went to different areas of the room to start looking at things and figuring things out. Salsa broke into something right away. Like, whatever.
Of course he did.
Oh, you thought you
give me a combination lock. I'm gonna crack it. That's what I do.
Yeah. Fair enough. No.
Jenna made me put it back.
Is that not part of the puzzle room?
Well, I mean, you need to find the code for the lock.
Yeah, but breaking into it is more fun.
Actually, no, because what happened once I made Salsa put it back. Salsa's like, hey, I got this one. I was like, oh, cool, how'd you do it? Did you just tumble listen to that fucking lock and just figure it out? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, no, you put that back where you found it. I mean, people are here to solve puzzles. God damn it. You just deprived them of a puzzle.
That's technically a puzzle.
There are, in fact, at least two puzzles inherent in a combination lock in this environment. You are correct. However, so Salsa put it back, and then we solved like two other puzzles before we got back to this one. And then it was James actually got to solve it.
Yep.
And he was so delighted with himself, and I'm like, this is why you don't open the goddamn combination. I didn't do that loudly in front of Salsa.
No, but it was pretty funny because
I think I did give you a look.
James got it open and I walked over and I was like, oh, you got that open, huh? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, it was this, wasn't it? And he was like, yes.
How did you know?
But then James got really excited about the I almost said what it was, but the way he found out what.
Yeah,
what
no, it was that was.
It was fun. It was very delightful.
It was a really, really good. They said that was their hardest room, and we did it in 44.
Oh wow!
Basically 44 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah.
Like
no, we
43
powered through that room.
13 seconds or something, but 44 minutes.
No, they were impressed. We didn't need any clues either. We did it without clues.
Like, I'm not above getting clues if it becomes not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And there were definitely points of frustration, but we were always able to work through it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was one puzzle that three of us were working on together.
It involved
was some symbols on a thing in a specific order, and you had to find this poem in order to figure out what the symbols meant in order to open this thing. It was very complicated. This one puzzle had about seven layers of things that you needed to get through in order to figure it. It was a really complicated puzzle. And we got through that one. We finally cracked that one and got in. And we felt amazing.
Oh my God, it was so good.
And I was like, I really loved that puzzle. And he was like, most people hate that puzzle. And I was like, no, that was my favorite. That was my favorite puzzle.
Same. Because it was me, Salsa, and this other person that we had just met. That was a friend of James's from Life. And not just us assholes.
We're not Life.
I mean, you might be Life. Salsa and I, we're not Life.
We're just in podcast land.
No, I mean from college or from other
like
life
significant
things.
Life event that you did not know them for.
Exactly. Life. But yeah, so it was the three of us just bonded over this goddamn puzzle. And like I'd worked that because it was the directional locks, the directional combination lock things where you can go up or down or left or right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like pin locks.
It's kind of like a joystick, actually.
Yeah, it's like anyway.
I suppose I can picture it.
Yeah. So I'd had experience with that before. So as soon as we started working through the riddle puzzle portion of it, I was like, oh, I get it. And then there was this other thing, like, I don't want to ruin it in case anybody does this.
Yeah.
But like just the three of us working together, ignoring whatever the fuck was happening around us and just focused on this puzzle. Like it was really good. Like we worked through all of the steps. We figured out which thing and we just did it. And it wasn't some asshole picking a lock and it wasn't.
That feels specifically like a call out for Salsa.
What?
I would never do that.
Madness.
Madness.
But it was super fun. And it was really good. And honestly, at the points where it started to get the most frustrating was the times where the three of us were actually able to like talk through some stuff and try to figure out, okay, what. Yeah.
You're time traveling.
No, it was great. It was. What?
You're time traveling.
You cut out. You're time traveling.
Well, I think all of us are simultaneously time traveling. Relative to the other.
Yeah.
Who else on this call is time traveling?
No, we're good now. But...
I always get the X-Files theme mixed up with the Doctor Who theme. They're only slightly different. Okay, I'm so sorry. Can I info dump about the X-Files theme song? Because it has lyrics. Did you know this?
What?
Yeah.
They go like this. Oh, okay. Well, for Jenna's sake, they go like this. The X-Files is a show. Da 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 da. With music by Mark Snow. Da. That's it. But there are lyrics. Oh dear. I feel like this little fact has broken Jenna.
Nobody said they were good lyrics.
Here's the thing.
That's okay. For
I don't
playing
know.
Me.
Joe. Okay. So Joe loves the X-Files. He grew up on the X-Files. He fucking loves the X-Files. It's like it's his fandom. It is his base fandom. Right.
Okay.
And in fact, X-Files is what I use to describe specific ways of vibing with fandoms with Joe. And it was like, oh, okay. I get it. So anyway, I don't know if Joe knows about the lyrics thing. There is a part of me that wants him to know about this. And there is another part of me that wants to keep him blissfully unaware. I'm not going to be the one to bring this up to him.
I get to. Oh, no, you can.
Y'all have fun.
Whoever maybe the next
first.
Time, maybe the next time we hang out, and I'll like bring beer or something, and we need to do this anyway,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Indeed.
Hidden MN was great. Yay! Is my wrap up.
Highly recommended.
Also, you get to drink while you're solving the puzzles.
Yeah. Ooh, they've got a little bar, and then you buy a beer and you bring it into the puzzle room with you, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
So, also have throwing and stuff there too. It's a pretty cool place. Yeah. Check them out. I'll post a link of some sort in the show notes.
Hashtag not sponsored. Just a fan.
If they want to give me hash, I'm okay with that.
If they want to sponsor us.
No, they want money, not hash.
We have worked for literal coffee beans before. Come on.
I know people that could use good hash.
Do you mean what kind of hash?
Yes.
Oh dear.
I think I was time traveling.
I think you might have been time traveling.
God damn.
We should take a break before I say anything further.
I missed it. God damn it.
No more words for you.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Those were definitely words. They were descriptive.
And we're back.
Those were certainly some sounds strung together into things that have meaning.
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Tom.
Yay!
Speaking of Tom,
that'll be exciting to find that cut. Yeah. Hey, Tom, how's it going? What have you been up to? Why are you here? Justify yourself.
We're going to get really blunt about it. I'm here because you asked. Wait, I'm sorry. What did you say, Salsa? I was too busy screwing around with Jenna.
These things happen.
She took my line, and so I figured I'd just start talking.
Oh, no, I've stolen your line now because it is my podcast.
Is there going to be like a podcast mutiny? Because I'm sensing a podcast
going
mutiny.
To be.
Okay.
Going to
no,
be.
I
mutiny happened years ago.
Unintentionally. So, Tom, here's the story. Is that Salsa started this podcast with another person. And then like a year after they had been podcasting, they invited me to join. Like they'd had me on as a guest. I'd come to help with some... Mm-hmm. tech stuff, and they're like, you should stick around and record, and we recorded, and it was great. And they're like, you know what, we should have you be our third co-host. And I was like, that sounds like a fantastic idea. So then like a couple of years later, maybe, Salsa and this other individual were walking down the lanes at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, and somebody comes up to them and is like, oh hey, you're the guys on Jenna's podcast.
Okay, now I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yep. So since that point on, it happened, and I didn't do a damn thing other than show up. So
yeah no, Jenna my podcast was just now, bitches. A figurehead for her own mutiny.
Look, the people have spoken.
Like,
my podcast.
Yeah, it was like mutiny by popular opinion. I suppose that's how all mutinies work.
It was a bloodless coup.
I mean,
best ones are, I guess.
So anyway,
Tom, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you.
Oh boy. So I'm I have a vague preparation of like things I wanted to talk about.
That is way more prepared than any of our other guests.
Yeah.
I thought about it for 5 minutes.
Ready to throw that out the window.
Wee! So I guess I'll start with so I've been kind of in a writing block for about the summer. And then I got into a new fandom about in August, and this is a this is an independent adult cartoon called Hell of a Boss. It was a dark comedy. It still sort of is, but now it's a romantic drama, and it involves demons in hell. And so there is a certain pairing. I don't know how much I'll be able to talk about it without like spoiling the entire show.
Okay.
I may shoot Salsa the link to the show in the show notes so that anybody who wants to binge all of Hell of a Boss can do so, because it's on YouTube and it's free.
Hell of a Boss?
Hell of a Boss.
Okay.
It's like it started out as a workplace comedy. Anyway, so there's like a particular pairing. They haven't quite... That's not true. They have gotten together in like a transactional sexual sense is what I meant to say.
Work is work. Like, I'm not here to shame or anything, but like, what? I need clarification.
We need clarification. Okay. All right. So this whole thing started. Okay. All right. I'm gonna name the players involved. So one of the players in this very messy pairing is the owl demon prince Stolas, who was actually based on an actual demon named Stolas, who was a giant owl. This one is prettier and more humanoid.
Okay.
And more British. He's very nice looking.
I'm not Irish, though.
And I don't think his voice actor is Irish either. I think he's American and just does a nice British accent. Anyway, so Stolas, they're both messes, let's be clear. But Stolas is a mess in that he has never really had any kind of genuine romantic relationship. His only relationship was an arranged marriage with somebody he fucking hates. And he's like, he's queer, so like he's not really attracted to this person either. And she's an abusive, like, piece of shit. Stella's a piece of work. I genuinely do not like her as a demon being. I was gonna say human being, but that didn't really make sense. So
are you saying the demon is bad?
One of the demons.
I mean,
okay, just wanted to be on record.
Look, not all demons are bad. Some of them are just doing a job.
Is bad.
So the other half of this pairing is an assassin who runs like a mercenary freelance like startup. So they're both, everybody's bad. It's like just different degrees of bad.
Yeah, for some people it's just a job. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, well, so we have Stolas, who's, like, basically touch-starved for, like, all of his life, and, like, it kind of feels like he had, like, a queer awakening when he was, like, in his 30s, which, you know, is a thing. Happens.
Much more with my generation, but yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so Blitz is the other side of this. They met when they were children. And, like, they had this sort of, like, love at first sight sort of thing. Like, is very clear from the beginning. Stolas is, like, this 11-year-old kiddo. His dad takes him to the circus after calling him a little bitch. He says, that's an ugly noise, son. Here, why don't you see this bitch crying? And he just cries more. He's like, that usually works. Gosh, Stolas' dad, I don't know why that didn't work at all. But, so he goes to the circus, and Blitz is this little clown, and Stolas falls head over heels for this little imp. And they don't meet until like 25 years later, when Blitz is trying to steal Stolas's magic book that allows him to access the living world. Blitz needs the book because that's how he does his assassinations. Like he gets hired from people who have died and become demons and have like a grudge against the barista that like spit in their coffee. I don't know. I just made that one up. That's not an actual example, but like I would imagine that
there's
petty shit. I was
a barista. I never spat in anybody's coffee though. So I feel like I might be in the clear. All right.
You're probably good. It is kind of horrifying to think that there are people who can hire. Yeah. It's the worst use of that.
Look, if I could make the same money that I make now as a barista, I would fucking barista. I missed that job. That was a glorious job.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom, it's continue.
Hard to anyway, no, it's... Yeah.
No, it's really easy.
God. So
haven't you heard of JavaScript? Okay, I'm done.
Jesus,
I'm done.
Oh no, that's the only way to make it work. You've never touched JavaScript the way I have.
No context, theater. You've never touched JavaScript the way I have. Anyway, I feel like I'm giving the most convoluted explanation of this show, but I'm doing my best, I promise. So Blitz,
welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. So Blitz the Imp. And to be clear, Solas as a Goetian prince is higher on the social hierarchy, both in terms of like wealth and class and power. Blitz is like on the bottom rung. I had to move my hand so that you could see the relative difference. They are lower than like human sinners that turned into demons. So he's trying to make a name for himself. He's got this. He needs the book. He basically seduces Solas to get it. And Solas, like, mistakes it for genuine affection. So Blitz knows this is transactional. They make a deal, basically, where, like, once a month they, like, they want, I wanted to quote the exact line. I don't know if I can do it justice. So once a month, Blitz returns the book, and they indulge in a, quote, night of passionate fornication.
Baby!
I didn't think he would be on board for this. So on the one hand, Blitz made this deal. Blitz knows this is transactional. He also is showing signs of wanting it to be more than that, and gets mad at Solas when that's sort of implied but not actually said. At least that's how Blitz thinks Solas feels, but that's not how we actually feel. It's a whole, they have matching baggage. It's a whole damn mess. Like, they both have self-esteem issues. They both have like issues with mental illness. They are both just freaking messes who need to hash it out and talk, and they would be just the greatest power couple. So anyway, I wrote a fanfic. This all started because of writing block. I wrote a fanfiction that gets these two together, and I'm very proud of this little silly little thing that I have written.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. I feel like I orchestrated like a sacrifice where Solas like basically gives up his position as a demon prince and gives up his power because he feels so genuinely about Blitz.
Aww.
It's very adorable. The thing I just posted recently is a little epilogue of like a domestic cuteness. It's adorable.
Aww. That sounds absolutely adorable.
I think it's I'm very pleased with it.
Okay, so question then. You've done this fanfic piece, and it sounds adorable. Is this helping you get past your writer's block? Is it helping you like with other writing things that you want to accomplish? Have you even explored that yet?
It has gotten me to write more fan fiction. in all seriousness,
writing is writing. I'm not judging at all.
I mean, I do have a deadline for some of my other non fan fiction pieces that I'm working on. And so I think I just need to make some time. So the fan fiction felt less vulnerable than the other comedy pieces I'm working on words.
Okay.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's an entire book titled Truth in Comedy. It's very improv focused, but it is basically about how you can't have comedy without elements of truth. And comedy can actually be very vulnerable when you're trying to put the truth into the humor of what you're doing, or the humor into the truth of the scene. So, when people are like, I feel like I shouldn't feel so bad about all this comedy stuff. I'm like, buddy, no, you're working with truths. That shit is hard, man. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't feel bad about it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it's fun. No, absolutely. Like, it's a lot of fun to write this. I actually have a crossover with the X-Files that I'm working on next.
It's all coming back.
Yes.
Call back to the X-Files.
It's all coming back around.
Oh, wait a minute. That's
that's Doctor Who. I told you.
Yeah. Writing is writing. As long as writing something, you're getting something out on the paper. You're flexing that muscle. So.
One thing that was interesting, I was watching a Sarah Zed video about fan fiction, and she was like, there was a point she made where I was like, I hadn't thought about that, and now that I have, it makes a lot of sense. She was like, you know, television writing is actually quite similar to fan fiction, because you're coming in for, like, an episode or a season, and you're working with already established characters, and you're working with audience expectations of those characters.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's very episodic. So when
you especially with Doctor the old Who. Shows like Doctor Who. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, So Joe and I have been rewatching Doctor Who, the newer Who, not the old stuff that's also got through. But we've been rewatching, and I am so excited to get to the Doctor's Wife.
Mm.
Not the River Song stuff, but the episode called The Doctor's Wife. Which was written by Neil Gaiman. And it's about the Doctor's relationship with the TARDIS. The TARDIS, they end up in a place outside of space and time, kind of a thing, and the TARDIS takes on a human form, or has a human form that is visible. And it's a wonderful episode, written by Neil Gaiman. But, like, he talked about it, and he's like, it was fanfic. It just was.
Yeah.
Like, it totally just is. Like, I wrote fanfic and everybody loved it. So he's like, I was asked to write an episode. I had a moment of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I wrote fanfic. And that's what they made. So yeah, it was definitely one of those. It's one of my favorite episodes. And it's because you can see the love that Neil Gaiman has for Doctor Who in that episode. Like, he gets it, man. You know?
I feel like Ascended fans can often, like, bring like the most heart to something like that.
Absolutely.
When they work on the thing that they're such a fan of.
And not just that. I mean, like, some video games came about because they're generally fan mods for another game and things like that. You know, it's give creative people with something to say, the venue to say it, and you're going to get some amazing stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to say something else about that, and then I lost it because I'm talking a lot. So anyway, Tom, what else did you have?
So the other thing that I have is I bought, this actually starts, the story actually starts, the lights are going to start going down, but that doesn't matter. It's an audio form. You wouldn't have known anything if I hadn't sent it. So oops. Oh, well, anyway,
I'm sure Salsa will edit that out entirely.
Yes. Also, all of the disco lights that are suddenly happening. And is that the laser beam? There's a laser. There's a race going on in your room. It's amazing. Yeah.
I can actually make that happen. Wait a minute.
Like a Rammstein concert happening behind you.
Du hast. Okay. While Jenna's doing that, so I got a tarot deck. I actually backed something called the Octopus Tarot on Kickstarter. There's a whole separate story about why that hasn't shown up yet, but I don't want to get into it. It's supposedly being solved. I'll either get the deck or I won't. But so anyway, I was like, I'd actually like to start kind of reading tarot for myself, just as kind of like a sort of like a way to focus and like what should I focus sure. on today sort of thing. That's what I'm trying to use it as. Not that the cards decide my fate. That's a little, I think that's a bit much.
Bit much for you. I do think that like tarot can be a really good tool for trying to get to your subconscious of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, because the things that you're going to read into it, and you're going to, that's how tarot fucking works. Mm-hmm. But like the things that you're going to read into it are things that you already have in your brain. That's why they're coming out. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's a great focus tool for just what is it that you're trying to accomplish? Like, even just what questions are you going to ask helps you understand what your focus is.
Yeah.
It's so, like
instigating
an
intentional Freudian slip.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm.
I feel like a real YouTuber when I point in different directions. Oops.
I have a tarot deck that is the Celtic Christian tarot deck.
That's so on brand.
It's for me. Yeah. That's the My most brand. Gemma deck to ever exist.
Yeah. Okay. So this one.
What is the Christian stance on tarot decks?
So the Christian, the Celtic Christian tarot deck. And I actually haven't looked at it in years, but I own it still. But it is, it's a tarot deck. It has all of the players. It has the hermit. It has, has a priestess type Major character, Arcana. Right? It's got all of that. It's got all of the, like, it has everything. But a lot of the depictions are much more, you get like your saint depictions. Get certain flavors. It's a lot more Catholic than general Christian. But like
Catholic is kind of like
I get it, but
because it's Celtic.
No matter how much you dress it up, it's still tarot.
Right. Exactly. Which is honestly why I got this thing. The artwork is very it's very Celtic based artwork, and I do love Celtic based artwork. Like, just straight up, the artwork alone is delightful. But I also love seeing how religions, and honestly mine especially, looks at other belief systems or other mythology, ideas, things like that, and kind of works within shared stories. And yes, I'm not going to negate that there is a very large chunk of Christianity that looked at shared stories and went, well, that's ours now. And that's why we have Christmas in December. But like,
yes. Or, it was pagans.
Or Easter.
Also pagans.
Literally named pagans. After not a Christian thing at all.
But pagan like fertility ritual, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm picturing a Norm MacDonald bishop. Just like going, no, that's art.
That's literally what happened, though.
It's a tree, yeah. But specifically, the voice. It's a tree. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's ours.
But we've had this for, yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
No, yeah. No.
You have a flag.
We've always had that. It's ours. Yeah.
But I am very fascinated at religious interplay. I actually had a conversation. So I feel like I'm stealing away from Tom, but
okay.
The thing. Like,
I
downloaded an app. I did. Oh shit. Okay. Downloaded an app for Bible trivia. Because as a Christian, I feel like I should better understand the Bible itself and be able to, especially in times of, like, say, abortion, which is becoming more prevalent than it has been in the past because reasons, right? When some idiot fuckwad is saying, like, abortion is murder, I want to be able to bring forward biblical scripture that says, nope, you're fucking wrong. I feel like as a Christian, that is my job, right? Like, this is the place I'm in. This is what I should be doing. So I got an application for Bible trivia. It was bullshit. And this is, I made a post about this on Facebook. Bullshit, I was like, I've discovered today that I'm the type of person to delete a Bible trivia app that doesn't cite its sources. Because they would just ask random. I basically rage quit it. Yeah.
Yeah. Rage quit Bible trivia.
I did. Because this particular app was not saying where in the Bible it was getting its trivia.
Oh, come on.
Here's the thing. Very specifically, there was a question about Lilith. Mm. You guys know the story about Lilith?
Yeah.
Ostensibly. Wife? Is that
Lilith? Lilith in mythology is the first woman. Created before Eve, but was equal to Adam, and had opinions, so was ousted, and then Eve happened. Basically,
she got uppity.
Yeah, and so then she became the mother of demons. May have there's talks about like heritage via Cain, things like that, right? Some people attribute her as the vampire goddess that helped create the vampire thing in mythology. But here's the really cool thing is Lilith is definitely mythology. It is oral Torah in Judaism. And they actively like talk about all of that, right? And so I made this post and I was like, Lilith is only mentioned once in the Bible. And that was not what this Bible trivia app was talking about. So fuck you. You're out. Like, yeah. I'm particular about this shit. You can't call it Bible trivia if it's not biblical.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think they call Lilith mythological more than biblical. Do they call Lilith? Is Lilith referred to more as mythological than biblical?
If you're going to draw that distinction. Within Christian standards, absolutely should be. Okay. Lilith is mentioned once in the Bible, and that's only based on interpretation. Mm-hmm. But the mention is basically talking about this bad desert land, and also the Lilith, not even just Lilith, but the Lilith makes their home there. And it's full of bad whatever, right?
An
interpretation supported by the text.
Yeah, it is non-canon as far as many denominations are concerned.
Bringing it back to fanfic.
Absolutely.
Although canon did come from like scriptural. I think that's where canon as a fanfic term comes from. Anyway, this is not even.
I'm using it right. Okay.
Back to the tangent from the tangent about tarot.
Anyway. I think our 2 minutes are up. So
I do want to talk about the deck that I got.
I think our 2 minutes are up. Yeah. Well, I'll have to find the tarot deck.
I'll have to pick your brain about decks. Yeah. This tarot deck is called the Tempest Tarot, and it's all nautical imagery. Duh.
Ooh,
I mean,
pretty.
Our humble listeners will not be able to see my Nautilus tattoo, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got a thing. It's definitely my thing. So it's all like sea-based imagery. So like, I laughed when I first pulled the hermit card out of the deck because it's a hermit crab just chilling, just vibing. It's adorable. It's so cute.
Fantastic.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
I think the devil is like a shadowy octopus with yellow eyes and like kind of reddish brown coloring. The tower is a ship being beset by both a giant octopus and lightning.
That's metal.
Okay.
It's so metal. It's metal as fuck.
Yeah.
That's
the cover Metallica cover band.
It would be a great cover. The lighthouse, the sun is the lighthouse, if I recall correctly, which is interesting that it's an artificial source of light rather than something natural.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it's at this point, it feels like it's like me trying to get to know
sometimes
you get
the confines of a theme party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But it's a very cool deck and it's really pretty. So
very nice.
I'm enjoying it.
Cool, cool.
Do you have a link to it that we could share with our listeners so that they could see it?
I have a link. Yep. And actually, I have an Etsy link so one could purchase it if one so chose.
Even better.
Invest tarot. There we go. All right.
Anything else? Or should we take a break?
Probably take a break.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm sorry.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Tom, lurking in the dark.
Ooh.
I'm very spooky.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today is Fast Five.
Oh, crap.
What?
No, what? Did I miss a cue? Was I supposed to go Fast Five?
I mean, some people do that. Some people don't. You're a guest. It doesn't matter. You are not actually James. If you were James, I would yell at you. You're not James. I don't know if you knew this.
Here's the thing you need to know about this podcast. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. There's
we
no
We
like,
run off of rules. Just sheer inertia is what we do.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens.
I mean,
even the things that we're supposed to do, we don't always do.
We've had some big names, but, like, mostly inertia.
Makes sense.
Where was I? Today's Fast Five comes to us from... What? No, what'd you say?
No, go. Do the thing.
Oh, dear. Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
I feel like you just bought yourself time.
James Fairburn!
Yay!
Yay!
Oh,
that right.
guy.
That guy you were just complaining about.
You or, know, whatever.
I mean, it is his fault.
Yes, mm-hmm. Everything is his fault.
Everything is his fault.
Yes, it.
Whatever it is.
James. James writes, friends, without greater ado, to do or ballyhoo, your questions.
Ballyhoo.
Question number one. One or both?
Oh, I'm pretty greedy.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm greedy. Give me both.
But I do like to only focus on one thing at a time. I know a lot of people think of me as a multitasker, but I really am not.
How do you do that?
Remember when we talked about inner monologue and how I don't have an inner monologue per se? Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Huh. weird.
Yeah. I don't have a buddy to like help multitask with me. It's just all me. Unless it's times of stress, in which case we're talking about all of it all the time. Uh-huh. So I'm going to go one. Because I am a single-focused individual. Although I can shift very quickly, I'm not actually a true multitasker.
Now, the U2 song one is okay. Good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm a greedy fucker, and I'll take both.
I do kind of feel like as a bisexual, I should answer with both. But I'm going to go one.
There's a local band. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to say that one is the loneliest number. So I guess two can be as bad as one. So I'm going to go with one, I guess. Loneliness I can deal with.
There's a local band around here called Wild Colonial Boys. And they do a cover of one by U2. And it is fucking good. Their cover is really, really good. Anyway, that's all of that nonsense.
okay.
Question number two. Brush or floss?
Which do you do first?
That's what I was thinking. And brushing is what I usually do.
I have a very bad tooth structure. So like I've got a bunch of missing teeth. I've talked about this before. I didn't have good my parents never brought me to a dentist growing up, ever. And then when I got pregnant, there's a part of pregnancy that can sometimes deteriorate your bone. An actual calcium issue. And sometimes it focuses on the teeth. And that's what I have. So I have a specific toothbrush I use that honestly doesn't get it quite as good as I would hope for. But every time I floss, it's always like I always feel like I'm going to take tooth with it. So it's a very careful process for me, and I don't do it all the time. Think it's bad hygiene. I don't care. I am protecting my teeth as much as they can be. So I'm going to say brush just because that's going to happen. But the flossing is dependent on the state of my teeth and my abilities at any given point in time.
Can I just like, I was just going to interject and say that like dentists are some of the most like, I'm sure there are good dentists out there, but I feel like I've gotten bad luck and I've just had the most judgmental, like people who didn't understand. Like, there was a TikTok sound going around where it was like, people get so depressed they can't brush their teeth. And the reply is, people get so depressed they kill themselves, Janet. And it's like, more dentists need to understand that, like, holy shit, depression is a bitch when it comes to taking care of your teeth. Because, yes, some people get so depressed they kill themselves. Obviously, some people get so depressed they can't brush their teeth. Anyway, it's off the soapbox.
Yes. I feel like on the hierarchy, I would rather somebody forgot to floss than they forgot to live. I don't know how I was going to phrase that any better.
Yep.
But
part of me is scared that this is somehow going to be a dance, the floss thing.
Which I got to teach to somebody the other weekend. I was so proud of myself. I'm like, I'm not old.
I don't know what brush would be in that context. Oh, dear.
With James, I say I would rather sweep the floor as the janitor than dance on the floor doing the floss. I brush my teeth every night. I brush and use mouthwash. I don't actually floss, so I have a set of dental picks that I use occasionally when I want to get between the teeth. I really don't floss that much. Probably to my detriment.
It's easier for me to use toothpicks than it is for me to floss. So, like, it just it's less havoc on my teeth. I have more control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's why I use the dental picks, because I can focus on a spot, and if I've got something stuck on my teeth, I can get it out digging it in my gums or something like that. So
I do mouthwash. We've talked about this before. I use Tom's mouthwash.
Hey, stop using mouthwash.
Keep using mouthwash. That's the official stance of Aiden. Keep using mouthwash. Question number three.
Wait, Tom didn't get to say, did they?
No, I think I did. I mean, I went on my soapbox about how dentists are judgmental. I think I said brush.
Yeah, I thought you did.
All right.
I did. Yeah. I did answer the question.
Sorry. No,
okay. It's okay.
Question number three, belt or tie?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just went to the gutter with that one.
Yep. Yeah, I went to two places. One of them was a gutter place. The other one was an abuse place. I had a range of things happen in my brain over that choice.
I was going to overshare, and then I figured I should not.
I would rather belt out on than tie one on.
Which is the more important menswear accessory?
Ooh.
Important. Yeah, the tie is fucking useless.
Right.
Belt hold up your pants. Tie is
decorative.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for aesthetic. Okay, is it important in terms of functionality or in terms of aesthetic? Because if it's in terms of aesthetic, I would absolutely say necktie.
Yeah, I suppose if you go into like a courtroom and you don't have a belt, but you have a tie and like you're buttoned so nobody can tell you don't have a belt, like you want to wear a tie if you're a lawyer in a courtroom. I just got off of jury duty a week ago. Okay, that's where my brain is. So anyway.
I'm going to become a lawyer, a cravat.
Do it. Oh my God. The jurors will love you. Do you know how fucking boring it is to be a juror? No matter how fucking intense the case is, it's still... I have advice for anybody that wants to start doing law in a civil or criminal trial setting.
Don't be boring.
Email me.
Has anybody done anything like we've done the comic doctor thing before? You know what I mean? Like the Patch Adams type, like they're doctors, but they're reverent. Has anybody done a lawyer, but they're a reverend. Thing.
Liar comes close.
I mean, and like Boston Legal was kind of that way too, but even then, like while they were in the courtroom, they were still like serious.
Allie McBeal? I was like,
wait, hang on. Jim Carrey was not at all serious in those courtroom scenes.
I was talking Boston.
Legally Legal. Blonde?
Wait,
Legally
what?
Legally Blonde, Allie McBeal.
But again, Night Court was specifically a comedy. I mean,
you're talking about like, I suppose Patch Adams is kind of a comedy.
Yes, but it was also a drama.
Yeah, it starts with a suit. It starts with somebody like contemplating suicide. So, it's a bit of a drama. I have to ponder that. So you want like a courtroom drama that was also funny?
Not. I'm not even talking about media. I'm talking about like a lawyer who uses like
off the wall.
Yeah, or would they just be instantly slapped with contempt court if they tried to do antics of any sort? Because judges have no sense of humor.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. I am going to talk about my jury duty thing briefly on this one. My judge, although very judgy, not like, you're stupid, judgy, but like exemplifying the concept of judge, right? Like he sat
job
there.
Job duty number
and
one,
like,
check.
Salsa, I have an idea. You're looking for work, right? So,
oh dear.
No, but here's the thing. Like I said, or at least alluded to, my court case was very intense. And the lawyers, both the plaintiff and the defense lawyers, were very like on top of their whole objection, and he would be like, oh my god, overruled, like shit like that. Like you could tell it was like, oh my god, you people are wasting my fucking time and the time of the jurors and what. But yeah, at one point, it was towards the end of one of the days, one of the lawyers says, Your Honor, may we approach? Which, by the way, I didn't go into detail on this one. When they say that, what happens is the lawyers from both sides go up to the bench to have a law conversation with the judge, right? During that time, nothing is on record. And what they do is they have speakers over the jury box that play white noise. So like as soon as they start to go up, you suddenly white noise. And like the judge will push his microphone away to make sure nothing's getting picked up and like all this other stuff. Like it's, yeah, no, that part was like fascinating. They have law clerk actually kind of handles a bunch of the tech stuff to make sure that the jury is taken care of. Like her first job is taking care of the jury. So she's like, mic off, white noise. Like she is on that shit. But anyway, it's towards the end of one of the days where the lawyers had been like going up to the bench to talk to the judge like 15 fucking times throughout the course of this day. And one of the lawyers says, Your Honor, may we approach? And he goes, you're going to wear a hole in my carpet. Just come up. He was fucking done with their bullshit. And we could all tell. Like... Yeah. There was no hiding his frustration from the jury that day. It was like, oh my god, these people.
And I want to be clear. I'm not talking about somebody who's, you know, irreverent and goofy and being stupid and wasting everybody's time. I'm talking about somebody who's good at their job and is on top of that shit and follows the rules and is being a good lawyer, but also has a sense of humor,
daredevil,
and isn't quite so stuffed about. Like I'm just kind of wondering if that's a thing.
Daredevil because he can get away with it because he's blind.
Yeah.
Although
anyway,
I think it's yeah. My sense is that Salsa was getting at like a real life person who is an irreverent lawyer, but also effective. That's not as fun to talk about.
I'm sure they exist.
I'm sure somebody is out there being an irreverent lawyer.
There was a guy that I went to prom with who ended up graduating Harvard Law. I bet he has his moments. Because if you're going to prom with me, you're not always going to be reverent.
So I'm going belt.
I'm going to say belt, too.
Yeah.
I guess a tie. I don't know.
Sure.
Question number four. Space or Western?
Space Western.
Firefly, Parque de los Dos. God damn it.
That's why I said Space Western.
I know, right? Like, that was also the first thing that popped in my mind.
Firefly is a little sad to watch now, unfortunately, in light of all the crap about Joss Whedon. I'm just like, ooh.
Okay. So here's my thoughts. Joss Whedon is an asshole, right? I actually kind of had people that had worked with him before that. I had heard about Joss Whedon being kind of a dick before all of this shit came to light.
Mm-hmm.
here's where I'm at. There are a lot of levers that went into making Firefly happen. And this, I think, is an important factor. Joss Whedon being an asshole is not directly detrimental to a large minority population. His specific actions were shitty as fuck. But he's not out there espousing that, like, we should, I don't know, like, not let people have abortions or something like that. He's not doing anything that affects a large... He's not J.K. Rowling. He's not doing anything that is affecting a large population of people in a very direct manner. So I personally, and this is where I've come to, and you brought up J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling is definitely being detrimental. I will not buy into that shit. Whatever. I'm done. Fuck it. Toss it off. Maybe...
Word choice there.
But with products that Joss Whedon was a part of, there's a larger collective of people that made those things happen, and there was a larger collection of people that made, you know, the Harry Potter stuff happen.
Right.
But Joss Whedon is not directly affecting minority groups in large swaths, whereas J.K. Rowling is. So I personally do not have problems with indulging in the fandoms, many of them actually, that Joss was a part of, because he's not doing shitty things to a large group of people overall. He was a shitty person. He still is a shitty person. Don't sign up. But, like, as far as the fandoms themselves, they don't have to be as directly tied to him because they're not as grossly affecting people. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I think for me, that's just harder to... It's harder to watch and enjoy.
Oh, there's definitely an effect.
Yeah. And Buffy, unfortunately, is one that I will never watch, because partly because of that.
I think the thing is that there were a lot of people that did Buffy well overall. There were some problematic people that were involved in Buffy. Joss was not the only one. I think as long as I'm not buying into something, there are certain elements that I can still appreciate, but it has been kind of dampened for me.
Yeah.
And Buffy was a fandom of mine back in the 90s. Back before the year 2000. Yeah. So, like, there are elements that I can take from it, but, like, I don't buy Buffy stuff anymore. It's been a while. Sure. Like, I don't stream it. I own it, but that was a while ago, so it just happens to exist in my library now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm personally at with all of that, and people are going to have different feelings and vibes and whatever, and I'm not going to negate any of those,
sure,
honestly. So,
is our answer space western?
I mean, that's my answer, but if I have to choose between the two, I think I'm going to go western.
I'm going to go with dragons in space or dragons in the Old West. Which would you rather see?
Oh, shit. Ooh. I did read a lot of Anne McCaffrey growing up.
I think dragons in the Old West would be more interesting.
I'm going Old West.
I haven't seen a lot of dragons in the Old West, so I kind of see it. Yeah, I'm sticking with Old West.
Has anyone ever seen a dragon in the Old West?
I don't think that's a fandom that has been ever tapped into.
Well, now I need to write a thing.
We need to be the first. Go write fan fiction.
I'm making a note for myself.
Yes. All right,
Jenna, sit on that. Question number 5. Upstairs or downstairs?
Both.
Well,
upstairs, downstairs.
I would much rather be the lord of the manor than servant, because I'm lazy.
Although I'm still stuck with apartment living, and I do appreciate being lower down because it's cooler in the summer.
Yeah.
Not by a lot, but still.
No, I have my basement office for the same reason.
Mm-hmm. Joe has a garden level apartment right now, but the problem is that everything is radiant heat. Right? You understand entirely. His place is like a consistent 80. It is just so warm in there. He said, and I quote, "It is so warm in here, my girlfriend is taking off her clothes." Which isn't bad. But it's still very warm for her. Right? But
it's
like
too warm for me.
If it gets too warm to where freeze baby Jenna is taking off clothes, like it's a bit warm.
It's too warm, you.
It's getting
windows are open
hot in here
all the time.
So hot. It's getting cold in here. So cold. So put on all your clothes.
James says, go ahead.
So I didn't actually decide. So I'm going to say upstairs, downstairs. I was talking, bish. Upstairs, downstairs. I'm going to say, where would you rather have your man cave, your non-gendered man cave? Because I have a man cave, and it is in the upstairs. Thank you very much.
Your sanctum?
Yes.
I was going to say your lair, but...
Ooh.
I have an inner sanctum.
Ooh, I like lair.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mine's have in the a upstairs. Corner.
Is it
sad little
upstairs
Tom,
corner?
Sad little apartment.
Would you like it to be an upstairs corner or a downstairs corner?
I think an upstairs corner feels more like... I don't know. I can look out over the world. In the basement, you're just like in a little goblin cave. That's not quite. I am alert. I am like a deep sea horror, but I do like it. I do like a good upstairs like nook or corner.
Absolutely.
More of a view. Mm-hmm.
I don't have any
upstairs,
windows in here, but
downstairs, upstairs.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, two upstairs
that's
and
the
a
sequel
downstairs.
To upstairs.
James says, "I'm excited to know what this brought up." Then we get to the context.
What?
Is it one or both? Is it better to choose between curtains and blinds or to use both? Oh, I got this wrong.
Yeah.
I like both.
Go to curtains and get rid of your blinds.
Mm-hmm. I can't.
Throw them away.
If I do not have blinds, I also need drapes.
Drapes are good.
But I have to have more than just curtains. Yeah, I need some function to let in light without being seen directly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, drapes are absolutely, so, I consider drapes to be part of curtains.
See, I don't.
What's the distinction then?
The curtains are the ones that block out light.
Drapes are like drape? Sort of like decorative thingies.
The lacy,
yeah. Usually
yeah.
It's more of the sheer drape.
Gently wafting
right?
curtain.
So you can get the light coming through, but people can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
Is the idea.
Okay.
I consider that part of the curtain ensemble, if you will.
No.
Kind of like if you say, you know, the put the blankets on the bed, you're also talking about the sheets. You know, it's all part and parcel.
I heard, put the blankets on the bed.
I don't know what that means, but anyway. Question number two, brush or floss? After a long day outside at a beach picnic, which would feel better
beach
to
picnic.
You? Yeah,
neither.
Specifically beach picnic, which is
that's very specific.
It'll be funny when that happens. Which would feel better to you? Brushing your hair, flossing your teeth.
Oh, neither.
Brushing my hair. Absolutely.
I guess brushing.
Because it was a beach picnic. Then you got sand to deal with.
Sand, I hate sand. It's coarse and gets everywhere. Bah.
Yeah, I just don't like
so brushing my hair.
Yeah, I mean, not like brushing my hair, like in the context of like after having had a shower, which would be what would actually feel better. But whatever,
sure,
fine.
Yeah.
Brushing
yeah.
hair,
good call. Yeah.
All right.
Question number 3: belt or tie? Which is more comfortable to you, a plush robe or sweatpants?
Oh, fuck. All right, James, I see what you did.
Well, I feel bad having gone to a better place with that thought.
I'm going.
Oh, I don't feel bad.
Again, if you're feeling something with this podcast, we're doing it wrong.
Everything. Oh, God.
No, that's just my
everyday occurrence.
I think I'm leaning towards robe. Like,
yeah,
I
me
do.
Too.
I have yoga pants, which might be a very similar situation.
I think those would be on
but
the sweatpants side of things.
Yeah. And I do like my yoga pants. They're pretty comfy. And I can wear other things. But, like, there's something about a robe, especially, like, after you've gotten a shower and, like, you're all just kind of wrapped up in a plush robe. It's very, it's like a big hug.
A robe
but
feels more luxurious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's an element of luxury to it.
Honestly, a sarong for me.
Yeah.
Lounging around the house in a sarong is the best.
I mean, I live by myself,
awesome.
So I'm naked.
Yeah, but that wasn't the question.
I mean, I don't live alone, but I'm also naked all the time. That doesn't really change things for me.
Okay. You're like a brother to me, and like,
I've had a few roommates that have been surprised by my lack of embarrassment.
I feel like that's a thing you bring up first. Like, they might not get it.
Oh,
but
things
like
were brought up.
Like,
don't get me wrong.
I'm glad about the other one. You can find me down here. Oh, dear.
I like how you said you can join me down here and you are directly below me right now, Tom. Like, you were right
Correct.
There.
You can join me in the gutter.
I'm just like,
down here.
I mean, we permanently reside in the sewer, so the gutter is an upgrade.
Kind of, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Take a drink.
Yeah, no, robe for me. Mm-hmm. Question number 4.
Robe.
Space or Western? Which Mel Brooks film is your easier reference? Spaceballs or Blazing Saddles?
Blazing Saddles. 1,000% Blazing Saddles. I love Blazing Saddles. I feel like it was a forerunner into having conversations about race in a time where that was not an accepted thing. It's a little dated now. So is everything, Mel Brooks, honestly. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. But like being able to open up those conversations and talk about those things, Spaceballs was great. And there's a lot of quotable things about it, but fucking Blazing Saddles will always be my Mel Brooks jam. And I've watched it many times and I just, oh, look, it's coming off like, ha. Okay. Like it's already just spinning in my brain. So
it's
Blazing Saddles.
It's two.
It's two.
It's two.
I have a comedy confession.
Are you coming to my Mel Brooks marathon so that we can get you all caught up to speed on Mel Brooks stuff?
I can't. I've seen both of those movies. They're not my favorites. Frankenstein is always going to be my favorite.
This has nothing to do with which is your favorite.
I know.
Nothing to do with that.
I mean, and Young Frankenstein was pretty fucking fantastic too.
Yeah.
And I can get why that is more specifically your jam.
Sherlock's younger brother is more my jam, but yeah, of those two, the two that I think is the more referenceable, I think would have to be, yeah, Blazing Saddles.
See, yeah. It's only Spaceballs because I've seen Spaceballs more times. Sure. I've only seen Blazing Saddles like once or twice, I think. Oh dear.
All right.
This is going
to
be
rectified. You're coming to my Mel Brooks marathon. I've been talking about doing this for years, and I think this year, now that we're not directly into the anxiety of a pandemic, we're still dealing with things, but
I'd be down for that.
I came up with this idea in 2019, and I've just been sitting on it for the past few years. Like, someday I will be able to do a Mel Brooks marathon. God damn it! And I own everything because, of course, I do. We're also gonna have to do 12 chairs. And if you don't know about it,
That is so good.
We have to do it. Like, not everybody knows about it. And I feel like it's an important Mel Brooks thing.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Such a good one.
Question about the, are you going to include the Mel Brooks produced Elephant Man? That's not a comedy. That was a joke. That was a joke. Don't actually do that.
12 chairs is actually not as
it's a Russian comedy.
There you go. That's a better way to say it. It is, it's a Russian comedy, which, so it doesn't hit the way a lot of other.
Yeah, it's very dark and existential and not funny comedy.
Okay.
It's like the funnier version of Waiting for Godot. So anyway, yeah, maybe, but well, it depends on how things, like, I have to do the planning of it, and there's a lot of Mel Brooks to do. And I mean, the thing about doing a Mel Brooks marathon is some of it's going to be dated and some of it's going to be awkward. Mm-hmm. Men in Tights is going to come up and like,
yikes.
But honestly, for the time it was produced, it was pretty fucking progressive as far as understanding it. Like, I feel like the goal of that was to work on toxic masculinity items, and it did that. It just kind of excluded an entire other. Anyway. I could go on. Yeah, so there will be things that'll be a little awkward in Mel Brooks because it's from a time. But
from a time.
Yeah, it's from a time. But I still want to do it because anyway.
Yeah, Spaceballs is my answer to that question.
All right. Question number 5, upstairs or downstairs? Would it be cooler to have an office/workshop above a garage, dormer style, or a basement with loading doors for material delivery?
Above a garage. Well,
it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, that's probably the better answer.
Absolutely depends on the product. Because it would be way better to do lighter workload stuff above a garage and just be able to kind of drop it out a window. Just like, whoop, there it goes.
Be free!
Be free.
And the thing that when you say workshop, the things in my head are like fabric arts and soap and like things that you can just literally chuck out a window if packaged properly. And with fabric arts, maybe you don't even need to worry about that. I think it depends on the material and the product. I personally, for what I do, would prefer upstairs.
If we're talking cooler, then I would say having a workshop separate from your home would be cooler. Because then you can say, I'm going to the shop.
Yeah.
I'm going to the workshop.
Sure.
You know, it's not, if it's in your basement, it's a hobby. If you've got a workshop, now you're cool. You know, whether that be a sewing thing, whether that be soap making, whether that be wood turning, whether that be whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
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 Or even if you're a writer, you know, like Hemingway would go to his writing shed, you know, which was a separate building.
Oh, I want a writing shed.
I think one of my Side tangent. One thing that I heard about Hemingway is people were like, yeah, people don't talk much about the fact that, yeah, he like didn't have a job and wrote out of a shed, but he also lived with his mom. And like, was it Hemingway? Yeah. I feel like that was Hemingway.
That's harder to romanticize.
I picked Hemingway out of the air. I know that there was an author that I'm thinking of that had a writing like shed that he had in his backyard that he went to write, but it might not have been Hemingway. It might have been somebody
else.
Then
he had a regular garden shed, and that man's name was Arthur Two Sheds Jackson.
Yes.
Oh dear. I was waiting for somebody to get the Monty Python reference.
I feel like it's there in the recesses of my brain, but I'm going to claim...
I'm sure it is.
I'm going to claim traumatic brain injury on this one.
That is fair.
Happens a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. James says, I hope you enjoyed these. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please go to the website, a1podcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form. It's that easy. Click Submit. It comes to us, and then we say it on air. Does anybody have any shout-outs?
I would like to give a shout-out to Hidden MN for hosting us, for having a plethora of puzzle room experiences, and for letting us bring booze into the rooms.
Yeah.
While we play them. It was a lovely, fantastic experience, and I do highly recommend it. I might be back with other people for other rooms.
I am going to give my shout out to CVS Pharmacy for giving me my flu shot and COVID shot today. Vaccination is good. Get your vaccinations.
Nice. Yeah.
Tom, do you have a shout out?
Are we all boosting with the latest?
I got the bivalent vaccine.
Yeah, bivalent.
Yay, bivalent.
I was finally able to get my COVID vaccine after having COVID.
Having it, yeah.
Right.
I guess I'm going to give a shout out to the person on Twitter who made a fake Lilly pad.
Oh,
the insulin company. They made a fake verified account being like all insulin is free, and they forced the actual company to tweet, actually this was misleading. It's like, oh, so you don't actually believe insulin should be free. That's quite interesting. So shout out to that person, whoever they are.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Can I side tangent into that?
Do it.
My company. So I work as a part of United Health Group. So I work on the technology side. I don't do the insurance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But United Health Group earlier this year announced that there were, I think it's a list of like 8 or 9 what they call living drugs would be free.
Oh, wow.
And insulin is one of those items.
Very cool.
So, I don't know where you're at if you have the option, but United Health Group will cover that.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm less bad about working for the man in a Fortune 10 company based off of health insurance. Like, it's like, okay, but insulin, yeah, okay, never mind. So yeah, when the lily pad thing came up, like, there was a part of me that was like, what, you guys aren't already doing this? Bish?
Medicine for nonprofit. What a hilarious notion. I don't even know what sound came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Oh, well, thank you.
does anybody have anything to plug?
I do.
Do it. You go first, Tom.
All right. Okay. So, two things. One is that I'm a Twitch streamer as well as a amateur podcaster. This week my schedule is a bit weird, but I stream twice a week, usually on Tuesdays and Saturday mornings. This week it's going to be Friday and Saturday morning because IRL stuff. I might be playing the Chrome Dino game just for funsies. I don't know. So come hang out. Twitch.tv/Tom_S_T. I will give you a link in the show notes. And yeah, the other shout out is Fearless Comedy's Give to the Max fundraiser, appropriately called Sketch to the Max. It is November 17th at the Mounds Theater, 7:30. Masks and vax are required, and proof of vax are required. So, and it is pay what you can. So if you are local, this podcast is going to be out after that.
No, actually, the podcast will probably be out later tomorrow night. Yep. So
you're still on time to plug. Yay.
Okay. You got time. You got this.
All right. Get to the, catch the max. All right. Those are my two plugs.
Yeah. It's also where you're going to plug Give to the Max for Fearless. All right. Done.
Yep.
Do you have anything else to plug?
At the moment, no.
Sweet. I do want to say, I wasn't asked to do this and somebody might yell at me, but I do want to say on behalf of Vilification Tennis, I know that James plugged a Vil10 show on our last podcast. That show has been postponed. I don't know when or where or anything else. There are things. I'm not a part of Vilification Tennis anymore. But if you listened to our podcast last week and went, hey, I should go to that show. It's not there. Sorry. So I wanted to make sure that our listeners had that heads up just in case they were planning on it. However, I have shows you can go to. I will be this weekend, Thursday and Saturday. Thursday, November 17th, Saturday the 19th. November 17th is at 8:30 p.m. and the 19th, also at 8:30. Huh, look at that. Both of them at 8:30 p.m.
Convenient.
I am doing a show at Strike Theater called The Body Show. It is storytelling and it is all related to body and body experiences. The last time this group did a performance, it was about grief. We have a tendency to hit on heavier topics with a heavier hand, although with some comedy interspersed in between. It's somebody once described me as full of comedy and heart and sad. And I feel like this is the right place for me to be as a storyteller. So I will be talking about my body, and boy, howdy, do I have a lot to say about it. I have only been given 7 minutes, though. So, if you want to hear about various people talk about various concepts within body, ideas about their bodies, their experiences with their bodies. When Joe went to the grief show, he said, it was a catharsis I didn't know I needed. And Joe's not much of a dude for catharsis. So, that was the grief show. Hopefully he'll have similar things to say about this one. I know Joe's planning on going on Saturday. So if you need a body buddy, maybe come to Saturday.
Or a body as a buddy?
What?
Wait, a body as a buddy.
Body as a buddy. And a buddy. I don't know. To support your body concerns. Body. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, body.
Hey, wavelength.
Tom, I delight in you.
And I you.
So, yeah. Again, body show 17th and 19th at 8:30 p.m. at Strike Theater. They do have a masking policy. I do not think they're double-checking for vaccines, but... that shouldn't concern you because I'm sure you are already boosted to the max. So, all of our listeners are, or otherwise they would feel shame. So anyway, make sure to come out for that. And I will make sure to get that link out there. And then I don't have anything planned for the rest of the year. And it's a little weird. I'm not gonna lie.
Cool. Cool.
I might do something else, but I don't have anything planned.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Yes. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who has been listening to this podcast. Thank you so very much to our guest, Tom St.
Yay!
For joining us in our
thank
nonsense.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to James.
I'm always down for nonsense.
Thank you to James for sending in the Fast Five on behalf of myself and James and Jenna.
Yay.
Eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Verbal jazz fingers.
Verbal jazz fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.